So first of all, a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for each one here. And please would you speak to our hearts and our minds by your Holy Spirit, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, according to my old college principal, in Jesus' day, almsgiving was a religious duty, not a philanthropic option. And by the first century AD, poor relief based on such almsgiving was impressively well organized. But we can see from Jesus' teaching here in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 6, that some people did not go about it in the right manner. And it's interesting that Jesus talks clearly of rewards for those who give to the needy. He also knows our need for acknowledgement. And even if it comes in a form we may not be used to, it's encouraging to know God will reward us, whatever form that takes, and in this life or the next or both. I'm going to risk a joke now about rewards. It went down well at St. Mary's. A priest and a taxi driver both died, and they went to heaven. And St. Peter was at the pearly gates waiting for them. He explained they would each get a car to drive, dependent on how they had used their time on earth. And St. Peter gives the taxi driver a Rolls Royce. "Wow, thank you," said the taxi driver, and off he went. But the priest only got a little old Robin Reliant. "Wait," said the priest, I think you're a little mixed up here. Shouldn't I be the one to get the Rolls Royce? After all, I was a priest and went to church every day and preached God's word." "Yes, that's true," said St. Peter. "But during your sermons, people slept. When the taxi driver drove, everyone prayed." Well, the lessons that Jesus teaches and that St. Paul teaches are clearly to do with reward as well as generosity. And we can choose our reward from the admiration of other human beings as our name gets well known and they may be impressed. Or we can choose our reward from the joy of our Heavenly Father as we spend time with Him. So unlike those who look at the money they have in one hand and then what they think they can spare with the other hand, Jesus is saying, just give freely. If the one hand doesn't know the other hand is already given, it can give as well. And in verse 19, we find this really well-known passage about not laying up treasures on earth where the moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. It's so annoying, isn't it, when a moth comes in and makes a hole in your lovely cashmere top or your lamb's wool jersey or whatever. Rust is trying to eat my little car at the moment. And many of us have been broken into, I'm sure, and experienced what it's like to have things stolen. It's not good. Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves don't break in and steal. But why? Because importantly, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. The things we treasure speak about our heart. And we damage ourselves when our main focus, when our heart's focus is on just material things and consumerism, which our society encourages all the time. According to theologian Miroslav Volf, there are two kinds of richness in life, the richness of having and the richness of being. The trouble is that our current culture seems mainly focused on the richness of having. It's not a good way to be. And Jesus ends by saying, nobody can serve two masters. We have to choose. We cannot serve God and money. Now, those words may be difficult for us to hear. You may want to say, well, Harry, are you saying there's no such thing as a rich Christian? Well, no, of course, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, what I think Jesus is saying, is that each person, however wealthy they are, has to decide in their heart where their trust is ultimately to be placed. Is it in God or is it in money? Nearly 350 years ago, John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, cheerfully penned these words. There was a man, some called him mad. The more he gave, the more he had. His words may sound topsy-turvy, but they are based on the spiritual reality that God is no man's debtor. Or in the words of R.T. Kendall, you cannot outgive God. And so Paul writes to the church in Corinth in our epistle, encouraging them to give support to the poor Christians in Jerusalem. And he says this, the point is, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And the reality is as plain as Paul says. It's a spiritual law. But we're not to be legalistic about it, because each one must give as he's decided in his heart, verse 7. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And Paul talks about that principle of sowing and reaping, which we all understand, because he wants to inspire generosity, not a grudging generosity, a heartfelt generosity. And the historical context here is that the Christians in Thessalonica, the Thessalonian Christians, they were very hard up, they were very poor, but they had said, please can we contribute to the Jerusalem church? And the Corinthians, who were relatively rich by contrast, were holding back. So St. Paul writes to them to encourage them to trust God and to be generous. And he goes on in verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. I love that phrase. And it's a good thing to ask ourselves, particularly in Lent, if that's a statement we ourselves could sign up to this morning. Can I say, yes, God is able to make all grace abound to me, so that I and my wife and my children have all sufficiency in all things at all times. If I find that hard to do, it's telling me I need to go and do some more thinking and praying. But if I can say that, then it's saying I don't need to hold too tightly onto my money. And it also will not hold too tightly onto me. And look at verse 11. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. If we let it, that can stimulate in us a real sense of adventure. Reaping a large harvest of righteousness sounds really exciting. And what an amazing promise to be enriched in every way. And then Paul ends that little epistle reading by reminding them that God is the biggest giver and therefore the biggest reason for us also to be givers, saying thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. You may remember when King David was preparing the supplies to get ready for his son to build the temple in Jerusalem, he said this amazing prayer. It's a prayer that many Anglicans have said for years and remember. It goes like this. Who am I and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come of you, O God, and of your own have we given you. Those words familiar to you? And they're words that express very clearly that it's all God's gift. And what an amazing blessing to be able to give back to him. And so we're calling today a Stewardship Sunday. And we have these two presentations on offer this week because we're asking all those from the worshipping community here to try and attend one of them because we have a particular need financially. As a parish church, we receive no central funding of any kind, nothing from the government, nothing from the diocese. We have to pay our own way entirely. St. Peter's is incredibly blessed to have the friends. Wasn't that a great idea? The friends who generously cover the costs of the churchyard and looking after the fabric of the building. To have had the John Trevor Williams legacy is also an amazing resource. But in terms of the ministry costs, how much it costs to run all that happens inside the building and how we seek to reach out to the wider community, we've been running at a loss for quite a long time. We had a loss of 24,000 in 2018, and we're looking at the same amount this coming year. Our rental and our investment income props us up, but we need that to invest in growing our work with children, with families, with young people. And so we're asking all those who are part of the worshipping community at St. Peter's to review their giving. So please do join us if you can on Wednesday morning or Thursday evening. If you can't come and would like a visit, then I'd be very happy to visit, or Andrew or John would love to visit. But I want to finish this morning with some excellent advice from John Wesley on money. And it's something that I think I've subscribed to for all of my adult life. He said this: gain all you can, save all you can, give all you can. There's nothing wrong in working hard to make money. It's a good thing to do, as long as it doesn't mean you neglect a wife or a husband or children. Gain all you can. It's also a great thing to save money and only spend when you've saved it rather than living on credit and beyond your means. So save all you can. But when it comes to spending, when it comes to your disposable income, if you like, give all you can. So we're asking, please review your giving. Come if you can to a presentation this week. Request a home visit if that helps. But please give as much as you can to build up and extend the ministry of St. Peter's in our community.